All right, Jay.
Just jump in.
Do you want to see a magic trick? Watch my pants disappear.
I can't believe it. Now my pants are magical now.
Thank you.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Watch my self-esteem disappear.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Excelsior! Welcome to Zero Issues.
Welcome to Zero Issues. I'm Merc.
I'm Bri.
I'm Kyle.
And this is the Newsy News.
Extra, extra.
Yep.
I'm a grown man and also a newsboy, I guess. What am I?
Current Zero News Flash.
Is that, that was another riddle?
Yes.
A clock.
I'm a grown man and also a newsboy. What am I? Jimmy Olsen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Or a clock, yeah.
All right, welcome to the news. This is not super new, but pretty new. Shade the Changing Man is now Shade the Changing Girl and has just been released. First issue just came out. I have not read that, but it's written by, what's his name, Gerard Way.
Yeah, it's part of that Young Animal.
Yeah, imprints. his whole imprint thing. I did read Doom Patrol that he did, and I was excited to read it. And I was honestly a little disappointed.
Oh,
it was very confusing. I had no idea what was going on. Really,
Doom Patrol was confusing.
Doom Patrol was confusing.
Something that's famous for a Grant Morrison run.
Yeah,
was confusing.
Yeah, I know. It kind of followed.
Have you guys seen the Doom Patrol graffiti around town?
What?
No.
There's one on like a BFI bin just outside of the Starbucks over by the mall.
Yeah.
There's one like the one mall that we
the
have
one
here.
Mall.
The main one, the good one.
Over
I
in
guess.
Springfield.
The one.
There's one, like, a block away from my work that I just noticed earlier today when I was out for a walk at lunch. It's like, oh shit, there's more Doom Patrol spray paint.
But what is it?
They just spray painted Doom Patrol.
Oh, just full Doom Patrol.
I don't know if that's the name of a gang, but it's a cool gang.
That's a very cool gang.
I've got some news, and it might be news that you're not familiar with.
Sure.
You know that Batman 66 animated movie that's coming out?
Yeah.
They've already announced a sequel.
What?
William Shatner's going to be Two-Face.
What? I bet he is.
As of the time...
What's he playing in the thing?
I just slapped my own cheek, but it didn't really make a sound. But just, you know, imagine... Oh, wow, that hurt, but it was worth it.
So at the world premiere, Sam Register revealed that the next DC Comics-based animated film will be a sequel to the 66 Batman, titled Batman vs. Two-Face. And... Yeah, Shatner.
And he just
Two-Face was never in the actual show, right? And it's sort of almost like the comic they were doing where they're sort of they did like a Harley Quinn and it was like wasn't that supposed to be like based on like young Goldie Hawn or something like that? I forget or somebody. It was based on somebody. Like they tried to visually base them on like actors who were like popular or young at the time that might have been on the show. And so that's kind of good, right? Cuz
Shatner would have worked on that too.
100%. Oh, okay. Yeah. Would have killed on that.
He would have got on the show and sang Rocket Man.
That would have been awesome. No, that was pre-Rocket Man.
It was pre-Rocket Man.
Was it?
But maybe if he 66? Was on... Maybe if he was on Batman 66, he would have felt inspired early to do Rocket Man as Two-Face.
Oh.
Maybe he had a rocket-themed... He's going to shoot some, like, two rockets. I don't know, man. Fucking two rockets.
Two rockets.
Maybe you could do the actual theme song. Da-na-na-na-na. Da-na-na-na.
Batman.
I have something.
Man.
As you may know, like, Her Universe, which is like the clothing line, sort of like, kind of like, they do a lot of sort of, obviously
yeah,
for
they,
women.
They do the clothes for the dames. They do the clothes for the dames.
Again. Trying to describe, you know, it's the clothing.
But they do very
cover
very,
up your gams and the whatnot.
It's very sort of like kind of it's kind of cosplay expired in a way where it's like not just like a shirt with someone's face on it or something. It's like designed sort of after a character.
That's my favorite kind of cosplay.
Yeah,
it's a plastic smock with my own face on it.
Yeah, it's just you're just naked. You just have a Hawkeye face put right over your crotch. So they've announced that they're putting out some, and I have some pictures here as well. So they have new sort of outfits that they're going to be selling in Hot Topics based on
Hot Topic.
Peggy Carter, Scarlet Witch, Black Widow, and Captain Marvel. And some of them are better than others.
And Martha Wayne.
Martha! The first one, and again, it's not the best printing, but there is a dress for Agent Carter. And again, this is maybe not the best show for all your fashion news, because we're...
It's kind of like the red hat on the slant sort of thing.
It's got a dress. It's kind of got like the 40s wings look. Kind of a thing, like a blue thing. It's sort of based on her look in sort of like the first season there, where she had like the blue suit, the red hat kind of going on there. Looks pretty cool, I think. It's got, that kind of 40s retro vibe going on. I think
you would
on.
Look hot in that, Brian.
I think I would. You've got, and Captain Marvel is a pretty good one, too. It's kind of like a retro dress kind of a thing with, like, just basically, you know, they've got, like, the sash on there. It's very stylish. Very, costume.
Yeah, looks at the costume, but very primary colors. Very
Very, like, kind of, like, old school pinup-y kind of a bit.
And what are these other
two? And then the other two are, like, kind of disappointing. This is supposed to be Scarlet Witch, I guess, and it's not is the
it?
Best.
It looks like Velma.
Yeah, it just looks like a reddish shirt. But if you look closely, you can sort of see, like, kind of some design on it that's,
it's
like,
probably, like,
look.
That sort of, lacy sort of...
Something like that, yeah. Like, there's a design to it that's very, like, kind of like a low-key kind of cosplay stuff.
Low-key?
Based on... Yeah.
Ah!
Based on, like, the comic design. And then you have Black Widow, which is just a black dress. It's literally it. There's nothing to it at all.
But you know what? They don't all have to be hyper cosplay.
Sure.
It's their business. They're probably playing.
The other ones get it pretty right, though. The other ones get it pretty well. Like the Agent Carter one and the Captain Marvel one.
Not everybody.
That you know what they're getting at with
but
that.
But the people. At least put a belt on it.
But the people that go for
Exactly. Get that Black Widow belt. Perfect. There you go.
But the people that go for the Captain Marvel thing probably aren't the same people that go for the Black Widow dress.
Okay.
So you're getting a wider audience.
Maybe I'm more naturally geared to the people who go for the Captain Marvel dress. Some fun times. I get it. Black Widow in character. She's a little, I guess, trying to be discreet and not draw attention to herself like a spy or something. I'm just saying that belt will go a long distance. However, they do consistently good work. It's cool stuff. Just wanted to mention that. You should check those. There's pictures online if you want to look at those up. Yeah, a few of those. Agent Carter one. I like that. I hope it comes with the red hat because that red hat kind of seals the deal.
Any more news?
That's all I got.
Let's go shopping.
Bri wants a red
hat. Makeover, makeover.
Welcome to the warm-up.
Warm-up. That's me.
It's you?
Warm-up. That's me.
Do you know what you're doing?
I want to talk a little bit about ThunderCon, which is coming up this weekend.
That's right. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Woo. We're going to be there. We're going to be...
Square.
Yeah.
So damn square.
I mean, constantly. That's. Yeah. I'm always where I am, and I'm always a fucking nerd.
Yeah.
That's my secret. That's the secret.
My secret,
I wished it into existence.
Oh, okay.
We'll be there, and...
You wish that into existence? You could have wished anything.
I'm sorry.
They're all gonna laugh at you.
Beautiful. But yeah, it's a local con. If you are a Thunder Bay resident, you might be. You might not be. If you're not, we've got a panel going on that day.
It's called The New Age of Comics, from 2 to 3 o'clock in the Fireside Room.
Last year the audio quality wasn't great. This year our mic is the same mic. But I think we're a little better at audio recording.
Sure.
So.
Okay. All right. Yes. Yeah.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, we are.
100%. 100%.
What we don't have in skill, we make up for in moxie.
We make far up in pirate.
We
make far up in pirates. I like it.
What else is going on at ThunderCon?
Well, panels. A lot of it we don't know what's going on.
Well, it's twice as long this time.
Right? It's 2 days.
It's 2 days.
The 23rd. They have special guests. I know that.
It's at the Valhalla Inn, which
That's
is
true.
The fanciest, I guess,
of inns.
It's kind of a low key place.
I'm very Thor-y. You said that joke right now. Let's both leave.
Yeah.
Both of you get out of my house. Please don't. I'm so alone.
So yeah, everybody, there'd be like, what's it, Diagon Alley?
Yeah. There's lots of vendors. Those we'll like, be down there, like comic vendors. And geek culture stuff. You have like gaming that are going on a bunch. They have, and again, there are some special guests. I forgot offhand. There's some people who are like, oh, that's kind of cool. I think there's like I want to say there was like a fairly well-known voice actor, at least in the mix.
Brian Drummond. He was Vegeta in the Ocean Group dub. It's pretty neat.
It started like, that's amazing how big it was even last year. So yeah. That's something. And they were doing some, there was some after.
Yeah, there's like an adult time.
Yeah. There's like, you know, they have like a sort of like an actual cantina bar.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, and they have like gaming stuff going on for like adults until about midnight or so.
I'm going to make out with a Jawa.
Yeah. That's in your like everyday plan.
Lower.
Whenever it does happen, you're pretty excited.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know what? Now I don't want to go.
We're going to be there, obviously, as vendors. We got our own wares. We got our own comics and...
We got some
merchandise.
We got new stuff if you haven't seen us out before.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen us out before, we've got all new stuff.
Everything's new.
This is mid-90s NBC style marketing.
100% new. Mm-hmm. You know, I got some mugs left. I got some books left. Please buy them. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have to make more.
I got a couple new prints. I wanted to get a shirt done in time. I don't think it's going to happen.
Oh, that sucks.
But I will tell you about the shirt. I will talk to you. Wouldn't you like to have a conversation with me, Kyle?
I know I would. Finally, my chance.
No!
Aww. Chris is looking up the After Dark. Maybe that's not public knowledge. I don't know.
No, it is.
No, I saw that part come up, and I'm just looking to see about guests.
And we should
special guests, Word Burglar, Castle Cosplay.
Oh, Word Burglar?
And Chasing Atlantis.
He burgled me words.
No, he buggered me words.
I
got me lucky charms. He buggled me words. Sons of bitches.
Kyle, I can't hear you because your words have been burgled.
I believe the word burglar is a nerdcore rapper. Pretty sure.
Oh, really?
Pretty sure.
There's also a Bedford Level Experiment, which is like a kind of a nerd rock band will be playing there.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. They played at GeekFest.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's them. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I didn't get to go this
year. That's okay.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be a great time.
It'll be good.
And a big shout out to all of the, obviously the organizers.
Yeah.
Particularly Jess.
Jess and Petro. Carl.
You the man, Carl.
Again, like last year was great. This looks like it's far bigger somehow. It's going to be a great time. So if you're in the area or you can be in the area, I would definitely recommend swinging on by.
Cool.
Say hi. Say hi to us. Say, hey, I'm here because I heard you talking about it on Zero Issues Comic Podcast. You know what you'll get for that? I don't know. I'll say, cool.
I'll give you a handshake.
I'll give you a firm handshake.
I'll give you a secret handshake. It's better than Bry's.
It is.
And it's illegal.
I knew there was going to be something else. I'm like, I'm just going to get right out in front of this and try to top it.
Yeah. I'll give you a hug. You won't want it.
You had to go up to hugs.
Yeah.
I'll kiss you. On the forehead. It'll be so cute.
It will be cute. I'll take a picture of it as it happens and post it to the Zero Issues Facebook page. You'll be famous for Kyle kissing you on the forehead. You won't be that famous. You won't be famous.
What the f***?
I'm sorry, I tuned out. So this week, weary traveler. No, we're not.
Don't go ahead if you want to do that. So the actual topic that we're talking about is magic and sorcery, with Doctor Strange coming out in a month or so.
Matter of weeks. Let's just go with
that. It's in November at some point.
It's November 4th, right?
Is it?
So very soon. Yeah. It's really just, it's coming out so soon I can't even believe it.
Where do you draw the line between like regular mystic stuff and out and out magic?
Because
like,
is there a difference? I don't know. What do you mean by that?
Does magic end with a K?
Jesus. Magic or just really special? Well, like, the example I'm thinking of is that
it's
Animal
Thor.
Man. The Animal Man Swamp Thing from way back in the beginning of the New 52.
Oh, with like the so green years and the ago. Red. Yeah.
Is that magic? Or is that something else?
I don't really know that book, to be honest.
Thor. So. Is that magic, or is that
something else? To me, if you're going into mythology, then you're dealing up gods and stuff, which and I don't view it as magic, per se. Like, it very well could be. Not that there isn't certain magic involved in some of those.
Yeah, but if it's like gods, maybe it's like something on a complete different level.
Yeah,
where like magic is something that like people can do and tap into and stuff like that.
Yeah. Anyone can be magic unless you're a muggle or a mudblood.
Well, let me bring up Doctor Strange. Jeez. Then. In talking that's Squib? Right now.
Is that one of the Squib?
Yeah, what do they call them in America? They got a different name in America, right?
I don't remember.
Oh, a Squib is
Republicans.
They're like a regular human born into a magic family.
Yeah.
And they're not allowed to attend Hogwarts, which is really horrible when you think about it.
Why do I know this?
I
have no idea.
I think you did say that you're a big nerd.
That's true.
Once you decide on that, even if you haven't looked into something, it's in there somehow. You can't. You just know.
Okay, all right, fair point. Counterpoint, here's the poker app.
Yeah. Occasionally I say it to myself, but all of the Pokemon are slow, bro. Slow, bro.
Okay, I'm getting another beer. Lightning bolt! Okay, to answer your question about the mystic, whatever. Magical.
Yeah.
Recently, I've been reading the new Doctor Strange, which I'm loving. Jason Aaron and Chris Bacalo.
That's the perfect combo for that character. I've said it before, I will never stop saying it. I haven't even read it. I need to actually read it at some point.
It's so good. Although, I have to say, Chris Bacalo, he doesn't do every issue. There's been a fair number of fill-in issues, and we're only on...
He's not the fastest. He can't keep him up.
We're only on issue 2.
We're on issue 12. Oh. I have it right here, which just came out as of this recording.
Oh, is that the thing with the new... It's like issue 12, but it also says number 1?
Well, yeah. It's number 1, Blood in the Aether. It's like part 1 of a new storyline.
But the big number 1 in the corner is such a cheat.
It is. It totally is.
Also, I mean, at this point, who cares?
Yeah. But he just
doesn't cheat. I love it.
He just had this group called the Empirical, who's more like a science-based culture, and they are going from like universe to universe, dimension to dimension.
Wait, what is their name? The Empirical?
Empirical.
Empirical. So the Empirical. So like empirical evidence.
Yeah.
So like, all right, okay, yeah. Comics.
So are they like an extremist, like almost religious thing, trying to like deal with the magic?
Yeah. And they're
like that. It's like that South Park episode where it's like science be praised. In the distant future.
Science.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But they're eliminating, like they've been eliminating Sorcerer Supremes from other realities. Okay. So it's like Doctor Strange kind of catches wind of that, and he's like, what's going on? And it's like he goes to this dimension, and there's like literally everything is desolate. It's devoid of magic.
Okay.
So then they arrive in this reality, and it becomes like an all-out war. Okay. But it's like people can't. Not many of them seem to realize it, so it only happens in the Doctor Strange books. Are the only books that reflect it. So it's not like it's happening in Avengers or anything. It's only all the magical characters, and like from the major to the minor, like they have like the whole bar of no doors that everybody goes to. All the magical people that go to this bar that has no door.
I love shit like that.
Yeah, me too. And it's really cool because it's like there's a guy that's just like a head in a glass case that's
just from this run, I think. So because I think in the first issue, he showed up and he was like hanging out with like Dr. Voodoo.
And Scarlet Witch, and they're all hanging out there, and
they're all like magic, huh? I know.
Yeah, it's that sort of thing. It's like
so rad, you guys.
And he has a lot of tongue in cheek kind of writing, but basically the Empirical wiped out a magic in. The main Marvel universe right now.
Yeah.
So there's really not much there's like a handful of arcane objects that they were gathering, or Strange was gathering from all over the place to battle. But the thing is, there was never, to answer your question, going back to that, they weren't battling Thor, like there was none of the gods that were involved in all of that. It was just the normal magic characters that you would think of. And it's pretty interesting. And in the new issue, Baron Mordo shows up, and he was hiding out somehow during that whole thing and was not affected. And he's a disciple of Dormammu again.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, the way that that Bacalo depicts Dormammu in this is so fucking cool. I was one of the questions I had for this episode was like, who visually do you like to depict magic? Like what artist do you want to see?
Yeah.
Everybody, we all go to Ditko.
We all go to Ditko. For good reason.
For good reason. Because he really defined the language with Doctor Strange. But Bacalo's stuff, I've rarely seen anybody handle Dormammu. and make him much different. Usually he's just, oh, I'm just a bigger guy now. Now I'm an even bigger guy with a flamey head. And it's like, you're not really playing with it. He totally plays with the visuals of it.
And he's one of those ones where I can totally see tapping into that, because he'd be very inventive with, like, design. And
Just
even, like, design of characters and design of, like, how, like, paneling and just sort of, like, and just storytelling-wise. And a lot of people just find him really off-putting in that way. But
yeah,
magical characters, you really kind of need somebody who's going to do weird stuff, right, that you don't expect. Oh, hey.
That's the start of Dormammu.
That's interesting.
Huh. That's okay.
It's got that kind of liney thing on the face from the original Dormammu. Yeah, yeah. So you see the face, but it's like this weird character.
That's cool.
This is Dormammu speaking through a human
effigy, basically.
Yeah, basically. Right. He's just speaking through them and he burns them out and they're just like a corpse.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
That's very cool.
And then right at the end, who returns? Nightmare. And that's a pretty cool version of Nightmare. Yeah. So
I need to read this comic at some point.
Yeah, I gotta say, Marvel has not handled their magical characters very well over the years. You and I were talking about this a bit. Yeah.
It seems like DC is, of the big two, DC's the magic one, Marvel's the science-y one.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's just how they developed. Look, Fantastic Four and Hulk and Spider-Man, like, they all science experiments. Things gone wrong.
Yeah, that's pseudoscience-y.
Yeah, and that's where they developed a lot of that stuff from.
The atomic age.
Yeah, and it was
elevators. The wonders of today.
Stoke Man.
And it's always been kind of a weird combo there. I mean,
and it's also,
you look at DC, Dr. Fate, Zatanna, mm-hmm. Zatara, Shazam, who's
Phantom Stranger, Constantine.
Yeah, it's okay. Now name five Marvel magic guys. Bri.
Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Doctor Voodoo.
Brother.
Well, he's Doctor Voodoo.
I guess
Voodoo
yeah, he is a doctor.
He's Doctor Voodoo.
Doctor Druid.
Doctor Druid. Yeah. Scarlet Witch.
That's four.
Mordo.
There we go.
Magic with a K.
I was gonna say
Magic with a K.
Day Tripper.
Oh, hey.
Damien Hellstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The son of Satan.
Yes.
There's that. But
and his sister,
if you're gonna
Satana.
It's a fair point, though, if you're gonna combine the two. Marvel's definitely more science.
Well, yeah, and then you have, like, Spectre, and even, like, ones, modern ones, like Timothy Hunter.
Yeah, yeah.
That was, I gotta say, it was one of the best magic-based series I have ever read. It's just such a, like, it's an offshoot of Sandman
and
stuff.
Wizard kid, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's basically
Harry Potter
Harry Potter.
Yep.
And it was
magical boy, glasses, dark hair, had, like, an animal familiar or something, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
yep.
It was handled much differently, but it was...
Of course.
That was basically where the comparison ends, but... Yeah, it's such a fantastic book. The Books of Magic, which is like just the 4-issue limited series that started it all, such a fantastic, like just a contained read. You can read that and be done with it, or you can go into the Books of Magic series, and then there's also even just like Sandman. Like,
oh, right.
Yeah.
A lot of that delves into that sort of realm as well, which is it's Neil Gaiman at his pinnacle.
At his gaminiest.
As gamiest.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I feel like DC and, like, Vertigo and stuff, it definitely, like, deals with the weird, unexplained stuff and more of, like, a... And Marvel, a lot of it is sort of, like, it kind of... It seems like it's kind of played off of the science-y element, trying to wrap their heads around it, how this works.
Marvel is very punch the magic.
Yes.
How does this magic work to punch something?
Yeah.
Well, they always try to do it... Like, it's a very inclusive universe
Doctor Strange
where...
Punisher book. He's got a magic shotgun.
Yeah, yeah.
The shotgun, they just blast magic all over the damn place.
Things like Vertigo have their own universes and their own things that they're very contained and they can do whatever they want. And especially for Vertigo, they often get the writers that can handle that sort of thing. Whereas Marvel, not they don't have great writers, but they try to be this all-inclusive thing and they try to approach magical characters as if they're superheroes.
Yeah.
You can't paint them with, you can't use the same brush because it doesn't work. You flatten the character and you take everything out of it and it just becomes literally what you're saying, the punch thing. And okay, why not just have Hulk then?
Like a punch.
It has nothing to do with magic.
Yeah, I know.
And it just becomes, and it's hard to write magic because it becomes the Alakazam, I have your answer right here. By the holy host of Hoggoth, here's the fucking
kick to the balls.
Yeah, it's like...
Like, I was trying to think of an example.
Zim-zam, right in the bongers.
Yeah.
By the power of omnipotent Ashur, I command you to cease.
I was trying to think of an example of, like, a sort of just that Marvel take with, like, the, you know, the science and magic, like, butting heads kind of a thing. And there was Mark Waid and Mike Waringo's Fantastic Four. They had one, which it was a moment I liked just for the personal payoff where, like, Doctor Strange, like, Doctor Doom basically abandoned technology and started just using magic because he was trained as a sorcerer also.
Yeah.
And, you know, to the point where, like, Reed Richards would have no way to fight him on that because he can't even wrap his head around magic and, like, yeah. Basically...
And he has got a very stretchy head.
Yeah.
I'll try to wrap my head around it.
So I think it's, Doctor Strange tried to teach him, like, some introductory magic stuff in order to do that. There was a big crisis going on. And he just couldn't wrap his head around it. And that was, like, the one thing where it was just, like, he just had no concept of it. Like, Doctor Strange trying to teach him this stuff. And he's, like, a genius. He just, like, couldn't get it. And Doctor Strange's like... Ugh, fine. And just gives him this thing. Like,
It's a handgun.
Yeah. A gun. Yeah, he was like...
It has magic bullets.
Yeah.
I gave this to the Punisher.
But it was like a thingy, like a, almost like a... magic brass knuckles. Let's go with oversized magic brass knuckles. And it was like, here, you can use magic words and this will work. And then Doctor Strange got taken off the board by Doctor Doom somehow. And the whole...
Reed's like, between you and me, I have no idea how this contraption works either.
Yeah.
Keep smiling, I'm going to deck you in the schnoz.
Yeah. It turned out it only worked when
he believed.
Well, no, Reed had to basically use some humility.
Okay.
Basically, like, the magic...
Oh, we're fucked.
Yeah. But that was the point. It was just, like, the magic word was basically, like, I can't do this, I think he said at some point, and then it started working. And again, as a moment for that character I liked, where, like, basically he's like, you know, it's like, yeah, Victor, when it comes to magic, you got me completely outclassed. But then it literally, he's just, like, punching him with magic. So it's sort of like, it's a nice moment, but the magic was used in such a superhero-y way, much like you said. Well,
that's really wrong, I think.
Yeah.
Like, the magic words, please.
Be polite. So the more he basically insulted himself, the stronger he got with his magic breast knuckles. Which, again, in the story was great. I enjoyed it a lot, but you are right, where it's just like, you know, you're dealing with magic and you're not really...
Well, but they try to incorporate... And it's the all-inclusive universe thing, which is their strength, but it can also be their weakness in certain aspects. In that you're trying to include, well, Doctor Strange is part of the Avengers. Okay, that's great, but you can't...
When's the last time you saw Daredevil fight a ghost?
Yeah, but you can't... Like, really, you could just send... Do we have a problem? Oh, just send Strange out. He just, like... Blah, 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 yeah. The Crimson Rings of...
It often comes down to that. I've had a few where he's just, like, literally, just saying stuff and just dealing with it. And they're just sort of, like, everyone's standing around being like, oh, yeah, the magic guy took care of it.
Yeah.
Okay, and...
If there's a consequence to their action, that's what Aaron is doing with Doctor Strange now. He's lost most of the magic in the world, so now he needs to gather things, and he has just a couple of arcane artifacts that he draws the magic from. But it turns out, for what they revealed, is that he's had this monster that has been created from him that's been hidden in the basement
of
the Sanctum Sanctorum that's like... It's created from his negativity and his fear and everything that in order to be the Sorcerer Supreme, he can't have this. So there's
His Piccolo.
It's like this thing that every time he does stuff, it comes out of him and it feeds this beast that's down there and that grows bigger, but it's just been kept in isolation. And now they actually used it to partially defeat the Empirical in... They released it, and this thing just attacked them, and they didn't know how to deal with it. But now it's become one of his enemies now, really, because he's been released into the real world. But then there's also a thing that was revealed where Wong had a group of people that were, like, in Tibet, whatever, in this hidden sanctuary that were...
Another one of those.
Well, but it's this where...
Every episode,
we have another secret sanctuary.
Yeah.
Well, but it's every Collect time... Every time Strange is, like, up in a battle and he's getting his ass kicked and he has to, like, kind of heal himself or, like, draw energy from something, it turns out he's without Strange's knowledge, he's been helping draw off of this group of people to help heal him.
Okay.
So, like, he's not been eating correctly, not sleeping, not whatever. So it's, like, just his bodily health and then just his inner strength has been drawn off these people.
The whole idea is, like, magic comes, like, you know, use this stuff, there's a price. There's a price. And it's coming from... Yeah, that's not necessarily...
And it's that's ended, because Strange found out about it, and he's like, I want the end of this. This cannot... You cannot sacrifice people to help me. He goes, but you're, like, you're defending the universe. He goes, I know, but that's not what I do. And so now it shows him, and he's like, he's an ass-kicked character all the time, and that's Mordo just shows up in the latest issue, and he's like... okay, I'm here to kill you, but I almost feel sorry for you because you look horrible. And he's like, just walks out with a magical gun. It's basically that sort of thing, because he just needs these token objects because he doesn't have any magic left, and he looks horrible, and he's like, I haven't slept in a week sort of thing. And he's like, wow, okay.
And I like that.
He's using stuff from The Room.
It is sort of, and I like that because it almost seems like it's very cheap when often, and particularly in a lot of Marvel stories, magic is basically just like, oh, you just use the cheat code. You know what I mean? There's really not more to it.
Oh, I forgot about this spell.
Yeah, I'll exactly.
This one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, magic should have consequences.
Oh, great all-seeing eye of Agamotto! You must come to my aid!
And also, in the Scarlet Witch title, they've been doing kind of the same thing. She's discovered that witchcraft is broken, basically. Yeah. And I thought they were connecting the two because they both kind of started at the same time, and I thought they were going to cross over Scarlet Witch with the whole empirical thing, but it turns out it's a separate thing, and witchcraft, I guess, is a little different from regular
magic. Well, it's witchcraft.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what the difference is. But it's been actually a stellar series written by James Robinson, and it's super good.
This one, like, every issue has, like, a different artist? Is that
kind of... It seems like they've been changing artists like crazy, and it's actually not bad. It's like, some of them are like,
each story has, like, a different style or something.
And it's, But
I bet they stay on schedule.
They actually do. Yeah. Strangely enough.
Go figure.
But the one of the things, same sort of thing with Strange, is that there's a price to pay. Apparently, she's discovered that with every spell she uses, she gets older. So she's discovering that. And now she's kind of delving more into her magical roots and thinking she's, like, I don't know if they're delving into the whole, whether she's a mutant or not sort of thing. And
I'm happy with them avoiding that.
Well, but it's actually interesting because now she's like, maybe a lot of my power is actually coming from magic that I never really realized. Because she was trained by Agatha Harkness. Agatha Harkness is in the series as a ghost, kind of like as a mentor, still kind of guiding her along.
Okay, and she's a bit of an Obi-Wan.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool because it's an interesting kind of play of them finding out what's happening to her. And then she's exploring more of the magical side. And the last issue, issue 10, was one of the best standalone issues I've read in a long time. And it was her going to Japan, dealing with a lot of kind of Japanese mythology and magic.
Oni and stuff. Things.
Yeah, and it was just such a fantastic issue. I don't want to spoil it. Number 10. Go find it. Super good.
Cool.
And the cover's by David Aja, which drew me in.
Okay. It's very, very much kind of like the Hawkeye style, like black and white color.
This is that 10 issue.
And very stark, right? Yeah.
Just the way that he does that stuff.
Yeah. He's so good at that. Yeah. Good lord.
Yeah, really good, really good. Heartwarming
Dr. Orpheus, master of mysticism. Well, I'm a little busy at the moment. Pumpkins due home from tennis. And I'm making my famous frittatas.
Is there any reason why Superman always seems to beat Shazam?
He really shouldn't ever.
He shouldn't.
That makes no sense.
No.
Like, of the two, like, is Superman just more American? Is that it?
I got magic. I have patriots.
He rolls up the sleeves on his costume. Oh, shit!
I'm gonna go work on my tractor, then I'll come kick your ass.
Starts hulking out.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. No? Okay. But no, like, I've got
you shouldn't beat him by the rules.
By the rules, yeah. Because, like,
superheroes don't use rules.
That's fair. They're all loose cannons.
Get my magic.
But yeah, like it. Captain Marvel or Shazam? I guess he's just Shazam now.
Yeah.
That's a character that's absolute and
total magic.
It's funny because he's total magic, but he's a superhero.
Right.
Like, he's just out and out a superhero.
But really, it's
he's
not,
a kid
he doesn't,
flying around in the cape being a big dude.
Really, he's only magic origin. He's not magic use. It's not like Doctor Strange where he's using a spell. He uses right. absolutely no spells. There's no magic use at all. It's just, it's the magic is the change. It's where yeah. he came from, and he goes from Billy Batson to become Captain Marvel. Shazam, done! And that's the end of the magic, really. I guess.
That's a very good point.
So that maybe that's why he can't. Because like, even when you said that Superman defeated
I'd
him,
love to see him like using magic.
That would be interesting.
Like, throw him into Justice League Dark.
But you'd have to make Captain Marvel a dark character.
Would you? How dark is Justice League Dark? Is it pretty dark?
Pretty dark.
But they're all hanging out in the House of Mystery.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
It does sound fun.
I want to hang out there.
Wait, that's why you throw Shazam in there. He's like, he's like the sunbeam.
He's like a boy detective coming in.
Yeah.
The boy detective.
Yeah.
Hello, sir.
This is great.
Constantine's just trying not to swear.
They're trying to, like,
not. Or just not trying at all. He doesn't give a shit.
You shouldn't smoke and drink so much, mister.
Fuck you.
Sort off! But he's in the body of a grown man. Like, you shouldn't smoke and drink so much, mister. I like how I had to change my voice to become a grown man.
The natural voice is somewhere in between. Listen, we arrested our own development.
Moment of zero. Zero.
Hey!
Hey!
You look like you've got something to talk about. Do you?
Well, funny you should ask, Kyle. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I am doing a new book. And,
Woo!
Jesus.
Sorry.
Scared the cat.
You scared the cat out of me. I ate my cat.
He shat on the couch.
Anyway.
Did it? Shat?
Yeah.
French?
Oui.
Anyways. Shut the... My new book is called Season of the Dead Hours, and I will be launching an Indiegogo campaign for it. At the time that this is going to be airing, it'll be in a day or two, like the 20th, 21st or so. At the moment, I'm still kind of putting it together, but it'll be launched right around then. If you just go to Indiegogo.com and look up... Season of the Dead Hours, it will pop up. Basically,
what's it about?
It's going to be a 112 page black and white book, and here's the synopsis. Sorcerers long banished to a never ending battle in a purgatory realm called the Ribiviash find themselves mysteriously returned to our world with 4 days before they must return to their banishment. The story follows Sitchin, he's one of these wielders of arcane magics, as he enlists a young boy, Finn, to aid him as they cross the Irish countryside in search of an ancient talisman that could mean life or eternal slavery for Sitchin and his people. Finn's eyes are opened to the long-hidden world as they journey through the deadly waters of magic, encountering creatures long since hidden from human sight, towards one final battle with Sitchin's mortal enemy, the Druid brothers, the Janus Magus. But in the world of magic, not all is what it seems. This stemmed out of... Let me start where it stemmed out. You ever heard of Bog Bodies?
Yep.
Do you know what that is?
No, not offhand.
I watched the PBS show Nova, the science show.
Yeah.
And I saw this episode called The Perfect Corpse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
And I've taped it and I've watched it several times, and then a number of years back, I basically kind of created this whole story based off that. Basically, what bog bodies are, they're naturally mummified bodies that are found in peat bogs. Because of what the chemicals are in peat bogs, they're highly acidic. It's highly acidic water. There's a low temperature. there's a lack of oxygen, so they don't decay. They're almost perfectly preserved. The bones dissolve because of whatever the chemicals are, but basically it tans the skin. So when you see like a regular tanned hide of an animal, like that kind of stiffness, that's it's that sort of look on these bodies. But they're so perfectly preserved, they just look really kind of a dark brown. But they'll have their hair still. They have items of clothing still on. Oh, like, man. These weird things that are like they're. It's so fascinating. And it's basically from 8,000 BCE to like up to World War II. Some of the Russian soldiers in World War II had fallen into pea bugs at some point and were actually preserved and found years later. But it's just a remarkable preservation. It's mainly in Northern European lands from like Scandinavia to UK where peat bogs, I guess, are much more prevalent. But the majority of them were preserved during the Iron Age, so that's 1200 BCE to 600 BCE. And there's been upwards of almost 2,000 bodies located like across this stretch of Northern Europe. And the thing that caught me when I was watching this documentary is that a good chunk of them had died from violent deaths. So there was like heavy trauma to whatever happened to them. And many of them were almost ritually kind of like cut in half or parts severed.
Yeah.
Or they were bound and tied in weird ways. And then they were thrown into these bogs. So they were somehow ritually killed, whether it's like a ritual kind of religious sort of thing. Or some people have suggested there's like a criminal execution sort of thing going on. So these people did something wrong and they were executed in some sort of ritual fashion and then thrown in the bogs. And like bogs and bodies of water have historically had kind of mythical ties of being some sort of like an entranceway to to the underworld or to another realm or to the afterlife or whatever, or just being some sort of purgatory realm. So they don't know if that's part of what that was, like they're throwing them to the afterlife or throwing them into a purgatory sort of thing. So from that, I kind of came up with the idea of like, what happened to these people? So in the story, you have Sitchin, who's the main character that you're kind of following along. He's one of these banished sorcerers who it was thousands of years ago that the humans at the time finally rose up against the magic users and used their own magic against them and banished them all to the Rebaviash, which is like a limbo or purgatory sort of realm where they can't die. And they've just been battling each other for millennia ever since.
Right.
And so there's like sides that kind of have evolved from that, and they're just battling. And then right at the start of this story, it's a group of people who you don't really know who they are. They're in robes, so at first it looks like it's...
You're not spoiling the book, right?
No, this is like in the first couple of pages.
Okay.
Just setting it up. And it almost looks like druids with a kind of the cloaks, and they have knives, and they have a couple of these bog bodies are on the table. And so there's one that's a complete body, and one that is basically from the torso down has been cut, and there's no head. But there's like just the
it's a torso.
The torso and the arms are intact.
Okay.
And they're kind of performing some sort of ritual sacrifice when you realize in the background there's actually computers. So there's like a science and magical thing kind of going on. All of a sudden they revive, and the one that's complete kills everybody in the room, grabs the one that's kind of a half a body, wraps in a robe, and disappears out of the building. And it's like the Irish countryside disappears into the woods.
Hmm.
And then we flip and you see... This is where Sitchin appears, and his body had been buried in a peat bog, but which is now kind of just a farm field, and he emerges and digs himself out of a hole, and he's disoriented, doesn't know what's going on. He's suddenly in this realm, whereas previously for the however many thousands of years, he was in another realm battling these other sorcerers, and kind of stumbles through, gets hit by a car at one point, and is like on the side of a road, and there's Finn, who's a young Irish boy who's it's at the countryside. He's in a barn at the moment, and he hears something outside, comes out, discovers Sitchin, and he's like, oh my god, what the heck? Like, he looks human, but he's not. There's obviously something extremely wrong.
He looks
grotesque.
He looks like jerky.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, oh my god, you're fucking naked. Like, what's going on? And basically, he ends up pleading. He talks to him, and he pleads with him. He's like, I need your help. And basically enlists Finn's help in order to... they know that they've returned to this mother realm, to our Earth, but in 4 days, they know the rules of magic. They're going to disappear mm-hmm. and return back to their banishment. They can't stay.
They need to throw the craziest party.
Yeah, that's
spring break.
Oh, how did you guys know?
That's our parody comic that we're working on.
Yeah. You've been
Seasons of the Spring Hours.
You've been working on this.
Seasons of the Dank Hours.
So you've been like twiddling away. You've been like working on this, working very detailed for a very long time on this. We just pumped this out in like a month.
Yeah. It's a lot of static frames.
Yeah.
We reuse a lot of art. We did it in Flash.
We're just reusing panels without redrawing stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a mainstream comic.
We have landed.
Yeah.
So basically, he explains at one point to Finn, they start walking across the countryside, and he starts to explain kind of their history a little bit and about magic and a little bit about things that he's never seen. And basically says, once you awaken one of us, in terms of these sorcerers, and bring us back to this realm, you bring all of us. You don't just bring one. Mm-hmm. So they brought back these two beings on the table. So you brought back Sitchin, and you also brought back all the others. You don't see the other ones, and then they merge later on. But basically, you're following the two storylines as they eventually intersect.
Okay.
The two on the table are the Janus Magus, his enemies. So he needs Finn to help him gather his magic, some magic talismans. That he can't get on his own. He needs a child of the realm to help him find these and get these talismans. But in the meantime, as they journey, he starts to talk and tell him a little bit more about magic and introduces and opens his eyes to magic. So then he starts to see these different creatures from Irish Welsh myth. And basically, this child has sees a whole new world.
Like, it's still there. It's been there the
It's
whole
still
time.
There. They've been hiding. Right. And ever since it's been kind of closed down, those creatures and those things have all disappeared. So,
cool. I mean, we've been recording at your place sometimes, and I've seen pages in progress.
Yeah, and now, like, thinking of that and, like, hearing the description and the origins, like, yeah, I can see that.
For sure. And again, just really nice work, I must say.
Thanks. I'm super...
The page is just, like, super nice stuff.
It might be just the way that everybody's always happiest with the thing they're working on right now.
Yeah.
Rather than their previous work, but it's... Like, not that I'm not happy with previous work, but I'm super happy with how this is going.
Well, this is one that it's all you.
It's all me.
100%.
So, yeah, I wrote this years back, and then I kind of tweaked it when I pulled it out of the dustbin, and so it's basically, there's going to be an Indiegogo campaign for this, bunch of different levels of contribution that you can help out in, whether it's like just $10. The lowest one is basically, I'm just going to find stuff around my house and send it to you.
He's got some really nice stuff. He does not have a Jar Jar Binks figure. No. I already asked. He said no.
Damn.
These guys can attest, my wife and I are borderline hoarders, and we have lots of stuff.
Your house has character. I told you, it has character.
It's character. It's true. No, we're just lazy and don't throw things out. We have lots of stuff and just things. And it's going to be totally random. Like, some people will get, hey, you got like a
$10 bill.
$10 bill that
a
I found
crisp
in the guy.
Canadian $10
or,
bill.
Or, hey, here's original art that I had laying around that I'm going to send to you. Or, you know what? Here's a comic book that I found. Or, you know what? Here's a paperclip.
Here's something that Brad forgot.
I got a rock.
You know what?
I like the idea of him sending us stuff that we forgot at his house.
Pretty much.
Here's Bri's wallet.
Hey, I lost my social insurance card. Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah.
Don't look into any new credit
cards. That was package number
10
that went out.
Don't look into
it. But it's that, or you can get the book, or there's going to be, I'm going to do original sketches for people. They can request whatever character or whatever they want drawn, and I'll do that. If you're a business, or even if you're an artist, or you have an artist, or you're an artist that has a book that's coming out, or just like a website or something yourself that you want to promote, you can buy an ad in the book and have a little spot. And you got to think. I go to cons all over Canada, and this stuff's going to be bought. And like, even just with the Indiegogo project, there's going to be however many people that get their books. There's going to be ads in the back for your art, for your upcoming book, your book that you have out, whatever you're doing. I'll be taking it all over Canada, North America, and be selling them there. And then that's,
you go to a lot of cons.
I go to a lot of cons, so and, that yeah. that means I'm spreading your stuff around. You know what I mean?
I wish you would.
That's a different podcast.
Holy. Well, that sounds great.
Or one of the ones is, the levels is...
Dinner with Merc.
Dinner with me. No.
Merc dinner with Andre. It's just, it's, you're having dinner with Andre.
You ever seen that?
I didn't have the patience for it at the time.
It's tough to watch.
I saw the Community episode.
No, that was going to say, yeah, I saw that. I sure did. That was great.
That was really good.
It's a tough watch, but it's interesting.
Dude, Andre, played against the Pulp Fiction party.
Let's not talk
I know
about
which
anymore.
One I want to go.
That's a whole episode.
It is, on yes.
This one is, if you give a certain amount, I will make you into a sorcerer or sorceress or a witch or a warlock or whatever you want. And I'm going to do a very limited edition poster with all those people who contribute at that level and have me do that. I'm going to create this poster with you guys all on that poster, and you're the only ones that get that.
Can you pick what kind of wizard you want to be?
Absolutely.
I'm going to be a Doctor Who, please. He's a type of wizard.
If that's what you want, I will do that.
It's no, not- he isn't. Go to hell.
You go to hell when you die.
Listen, I don't care if he does a lot of magical things and he's got a little wand that he waves around. It's science. It's sci-fi.
It's Marvel magic.
Yeah, it's Marvel magic.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. It's going to run from October probably 21st to about December 12th. Oh, one other thing is I will not have the book printed for Christmas. The turnaround is not that quick for doing printing. It's going to go to printing probably February, so then everything will come out by the time like gets printed and gets sent to me and I get everything together and sent out. It'll be like April, May-ish of next year.
Okay.
Is pretty much how that goes. Oh, there's also t-shirts. I'll be doing t-shirts.
Hell yeah.
But
clothe your ashamed torso.
One of the things is if you want to buy this as a Christmas gift for someone, obviously they won't have the book in time, but I'm going to make up little cards that if you're buying this for somebody, I will quickly send that to you as quickly as I can. Once I know that this whole campaign is going to be completed and approved.
Right.
Then I will send those things to you so you have something to give to somebody saying, you're going to get this at, you know, in the next few months. Sure. This is already been purchased for you. This is what it entails, and here's all the extra little bonuses that you're going to get out of this. That's what I'm doing.
Cool.
Exciting.
It is. It's nerve-wracking, but it's exciting.
It's going to be great.
It's fun.
Can't wait to read it.
Me too.
I can't wait to pledge my support.
Me too.
And then read it.
Yes.
In that order. And also what he said, I also agree.
I can't wait to what he said.
Well, I guess we finished an episode.
Yes, we did.
Should we do it properly this week?
Let's do it properly this week.
I'll start.
Yep.
My name is Bri Kotick, and I'm here to say...
Fuck it, we're done. Done. End of episode. We're done. We fucked it up. Try again next week.
Son of a bitch.
I am so sorry. Anyway, I'm Bri. I have a comic at welcometohereafter.com, which I at least try to update once a week now, and often fall short, sadly. But you can check it out, and I encourage you to do so at welcometohereafter.com.
I am Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM. T-shirts and books and previous graphic novels and upcoming graphic novels.
Wait, you have something coming up?
Let me tell you. Here's the story synopsis.
Let me give you the bitch.
The bitch?
No, the pitch.
Oh, pitch.
The pitch!
I thought that was going all the way. That was horrible.
That would have been horrible.
Yeah, yeah. You can find me at Merc. If you follow on Merc on Facebook, that's where I'll be posting a lot of the stuff. But basically, go to Indiegogo.com and look up Season of the Dead Hours. Thank you for listening.
He's got the hustle.
I wrote mine in haiku format this week.
Excellent.
While you two were talking.
It goes a little something like, my name's Kelly.
And I'm here to say.
Look, you guys know how I feel about Fruity Pebbles. I am the Kyle Lees. I make comics, poetry, print and more. Find me. And then in brackets, on Instagram and Facebook and shit. You know, whatever.
I dare.
Yeah. He's there.
Find me!
I've been searching.
Avenge me! Avenge me, child.
Jesus.
So, definitely avenge Kyle.
That's a thing.
I'm back! To do that.
Yeah, yeah. He always comes back. We are
the very
on
next
iTunes.
Day.
We're on iTunes and Stitcher and Facebook and Twitter, oh my.
And a big thank you to Ocean City Defender. Such an awesome guy. He's actually helping me out with the Indiegogo campaign thing, too. I was like, sent him a message. Hey, do you want to do some music for me for an Indiegogo? I used to do videos and stuff. And he's like, yes, I would love to do that. And I'm like, you're the best. I love you.
Awesome. Musical dreamboat.
He's my favorite Merkley.
Mm.
Just kidding. Mm. He's my second favorite Merkley. Mm. I really like Cal.
Cal's a good guy. All right. See you next week.
Yep. We'll be here.
In your ears. Is that,
It's okay.
Is that spicy? What
it's
is it?
Spicy, but it's
interesting.
It's a winter ale.
Oh, okay. Is it minty?
No.
Well, what is a winter ale?
If you listen...
It tends to be a little heavier.
I feel like we should have one episode where...
We just talk beer.
Yeah. Well, I feel like where you guys tell me about beers, because I don't know a fucking thing.
Listen, if you put your ear to the glass after it's poured, you can hear sleigh bells.
You can hear a mermaid.
I can hear snow.
Saying, yeah. It's winter! I'm cold!
Half my tail got frozen in there! I'm gonna die!
Oh, God! You're a dying mermaid in every bottle.
It's so cold.
Mama!
There's no way out of this!
Mama! Mama!
This is grim.